And now,
this is the Rich Eisen Show.
With the first pick, the San Antonio Spurs select
Rich Eisen.
I don't think enough time is being spent on who's coaching Victor Wembanyama.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Greg Popovich at age 74. Does this extend his career as long as he wants?
Today's guests, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan, actor Adam Devine, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the air on the Roku channel, channel 210. For those who are watching, we say hello to you every single day between 12 and 3 Eastern Time. We say hello to our terrestrial radio audience. We say hello to our Sirius XM Odyssey audience. We say hello to our podcast listening audience. It's your right to get our podcast through the Cumulus Podcast Network and listen to us whenever you want. And we say a special hello to those watching us out there in the oil change community in the Lone Star State of Texas. We know you're out there.
Shout out.
We know you're out there. Little reference to yesterday's program, what we call a little Easter egg to those who consume us every single day. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you, brother?
I'm great.
Jay Felly, good to see Jason Feller and Michael Del Tufo's spot. Good to see you, Jay Felly.
Good to see you too, Rich.
TJ Jefferson, light that candle, why don't you?
What up? The candle is lit.
Outstanding.
Let's go.
Okay, everybody. How about that NBA draft? Next up is free agency. And the NBA draft went down last night. Victor Wembanyama got selected.
Heard of him.
By the San Antonio Spurs. Then Brandon Miller got selected by the Charlotte Hornets. And then Scoot Henderson got drafted by the Portland Trail Blazers before the Thompson Twins. Little 80s reference. Amen and Ausar Thompson got selected by the Rockets and Pistons. Pretty neat seeing twin brothers go back to back in a top five.
That is really cool.
Of
actually,
any draft in any sport, let alone the association. Talk about a dream come true for the Thompson family. Back to back they go.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And then Anthony Black gets chosen by the Orlando Magic. Right. And then Bilal Coulibaly.
Well done, Robbie.
Thank you very much. No relation to Dave Coulier. France,
you're right.
France sends him to the Indiana Pacers. So two French players, two overtime elite players, two SEC players, and a G League player. That's the way the top seven of an NBA draft in 2023 goes or went last night. And the one that I'm going to just snag and pick and pull the strand on right here is Scoot Henderson. Scoot. Because we could sit here and say, what'd you think of that move by Charlotte taking Brandon Miller? Well, he's got more of a game that would suit what the Hornets need. He's not only best player available, he's also a need. So check that. And then Scoot Henderson. What will he bring to the Blazers is the key question, because him bringing his game to Oregon, there's one person. I honestly don't care what you folks in Portland think. I'll be honest. I don't care what Billis thought. I don't care what Redick thought. I don't care what Stephen A. thought. I don't care what Andrea Carter thought. I don't care what anybody on ESPN thought last night. I don't, and I say this just throwing it in, I don't care what you guys think.
Oh, that's, I mean,
so it sounds terrible, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds awful.
Because there's only one individual.
I got takes.
There's only one individual whose opinion matters, and his name is Damian Lillard.
All right, I'll give you that.
End story. I don't even care what I think. So I'm just throwing myself in your boat.
Well, thank you.
A new drop there.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible to say that on a show like this.
That is a good drop.
You should care what I have to say.
That is a good
Certainly
drop.
If you're watching in some oil change place in Texas. But it's really Damian Lillard's opinion that matters.
Yeah, man.
Will he sit there and say, I want out? You didn't trade that third overall pick for, I don't know, somebody that's in his mind that could be brought to the table along with the rest of the players he likes playing along with and say, we can compete this year for a championship or next year for a championship. Because Scoot Henderson, no matter how talented he is and may be, we haven't seen it yet in the association. We've seen it in the G League if you have watched G League games. But when the Warriors acquire Chris Paul and throw him out potentially in a starting five with Steph, Draymond, Klay, and Wiggins, and the reason why Chris Paul is available is because the Wizards are selling everything, and in part of that selling everything, they get Chris Paul to flip to Golden State, and in selling everything, they send Bradley Beal to Phoenix to team up with Durant and Booker and presumably Ayton. And, oh, yes, the defending champs reside there, and they just drafted, it seemed like, a third of the players last night. And the Lakers have LeBron and Anthony Davis, and who knows, and the Clippers have Paul George, Brandon Miller's GOAT, and LeBron,
Kawhi.
Memphis is part of the sell-off. Gets Marcus Smart, and in the sell-off, makes the Celtics maybe the strongest team in the East. I mean, how does this sit with Lillard saying, okay, Scoot Henderson, will he sit there and say, guess what? Guess what? We're going to see what Scoot Henderson looks like. Maybe he will be the most impactful rookie we've seen outside of fill in the blank. And defensively, he'll make us a better team. And maybe this together, I can see the pieces put together in the first half of the season. And that's the way I'm going to run this thing right now. Or he's going to force his way somewhere else. This is the ultimate question coming out of the draft, with all due respect to all of the players chosen last night and those not chosen. Like, by the way, the most outstanding player of the NCAA tournament Final Four, Sonogo. I guess, no go. And my guy, our guy,
yeah.
Marquise Noel, Mr. New York City.
And Timmy didn't get drafted either. Yeah. Going to Milwaukee, good spot.
Marquise heading up north.
So, Canada. Let's see. Oh, yeah, he's going to team up with Grady Dick in a video. Dick,
man. They are going to be in a Drake video, by the way.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
Drake, the Grady Dick-Drake relationship will be a bromance that I cannot wait to see play out. Something I'm going to ask Chris Mannix. All of the above will be asked of Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated in about 7 minutes' time when he joins us. What is Damian Lillard thinking? Period. End of story. Rip the knob off. Another one I want to ask him about. What is LeBron James thinking about today? He had to be sitting over the last 48 thinking, all right, Chris Paul is going to be available. Chris Paul is going to be in play. And we are going to have a banana boat party here in Los Angeles at Crypto, whatever the heck they're going to end up calling it.
Staples.
And I did not see this one coming. Nobody saw it coming. This happened a couple hours after we left yesterday. The Wizards do, in fact, trade Chris Paul. They not only trade Chris Paul, they trade Chris Paul to the state of California. They not only trade Chris Paul to the state of California, they trade him to a spot where he is surrounded by top-tier Hall of Fame talent. If I told you that, you're like, oh, he's a Laker. Oh, yeah, or he's a Clipper. Again. He's a Warrior. What the hell happened there? And maybe it's one of those sort of...
Wild.
No, honestly. You know, like the Rams, remember they picked up Baker Mayfield?
Yeah.
And it did prevent him from going maybe to San Francisco? When we were all thinking they had to go get somebody, and we all wound up knowing it was Brock Purdy's world, but I doubt it. I don't know. They also have some, now one would think, I guess, salary flexibility with Chris Paul's contract there now, and maybe that will get off their books later on. I'm not really a capologist. I don't play one on TV. But how does Chris Paul fit in with the Splash Brothers? I mean, I guess they thought they only had one groin hitter on the team. They should get two. And the person who's gone.
Wow.
For Paul is Jordan Poole.
Your boy.
He was their boy. At this point last year, not only were the Warriors celebrating their championship, but part of the reason why they were celebrating their championship was because of this kid who was shooting the lights out and providing some crucial minutes off the bench. Crucial minutes starting for the team when Steph was hurt during the regular season. And also one of those bright spots to say, okay, we've got a kid who can go deep into the future once the big three does push off and, you know, and retire. Right? Like,
yeah,
certainly since Wiseman wasn't appearing to work out and Kuminga and the other kids that they thought maybe could start coming to the fore. And then this year kind of solidified that maybe they're not it, even though they're young. And then Poole takes one on the chin from his teammate.
Literally
sets the whole thing in motion that leads to Poole getting shipped out because his contract also was now suddenly maybe not worthy of his game or his presence on the team. Wow, what a turn of events. And now he's going to be a guy, and if he's a guy who just, as we all know, there isn't a shot he doesn't like to take.
True.
He's going to have every opportunity to take shots.
He might attempt
15 a game like next year.
Green
light. What's the record for most attempts in a game? He's going to threaten that.
It's got to be a Wilt record, right?
50, you know?
50 or so.
Right?
You'd think.
But so, I didn't see that one coming. What a trade. Chris Paul is a Warrior. And maybe this is going to be his best chance of his entire career to get a ring, one would think. And he doesn't have to start every game, and he doesn't have to be the man because Steph is there. Just facilitate, make some tough shots, be Chris Paul, get in somebody's face.
And stay healthy.
And stay healthy, obviously, right?
63 attempts by Wilt Chamberlain.
There you go.
In 1962.
Jordan Poole's going to go plus one.
That would be amazing.
64 shots in a game for Jordan Poole. Book it. It's coming.
Well, Wilt averaged 50 that year, I assume. So,
Yeah,
go get it. Go get it, Poole.
Reminds me of that great Adam Sandler joke, right? Remember that great Adam Sandler stand-up joke involving Wilt? He's got 98 points. They call timeout.
Yeah.
Gets back to the huddle, and a teammate goes, "Hey, Wilt, I'm open."
Not tonight.
Pass me the ball.
Not tonight.
Sir. Speaking of Adam Sandler, a new Happy Madison production in your Netflix inbox right now, of which is available on Roku. Pardon me, not right now. Coming out July 7th. The Outlaws with Lil Rel Howery, who's on the show next week. Nina Dobrev, who's been on this program before. Pierce Brosnan, Ellen Barkin, and our third hour in-studio guest, the hilarious Adam Devine. He'll be here on the program. Also calling in Jeff Passan. Let's check in on a little bit of baseball.
Nice.
As we're heading towards, we're now on the other side of the summer solstice, right? Summer's officially began.
Yeah, days are getting shorter.
They are getting shorter. They're getting shorter. Baseball's playing in London. The Cubs and Cardinals have a 3-game set in London. Big game on Fox on Saturday. And then Sunday morning. By the way, get your fantasy lineup in really early.
You're right.
Sunday morning, ESPN's got that game between the Cubs and Cardinals. And Jeff Passan will join us. I want to know. Because the Angels are in the mix for the wild card. Does that mean Ohtani's out of the mix for a trade deadline? Trade, which we all discussed before the season. Absolutely, he's getting traded on the deadline because the Angels will disappoint. And the Angels, that's what we were saying. You said it.
For sure.
And if we didn't say it, you were thinking it.
Yeah.
But there they are now, currently 7 games above .500 as we converse. But let's take a break. When we come back, there's also you, your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. What did you think of the NBA draft coverage last night? Here I am crowdsourcing as a host of the NFL draft. I've got some thoughts as a host of an NFL draft watching a draft of significance like the NBA draft. I've got my 2 cents on the subject matter. Chris Mannix does as well, I'm sure. The insider of insiders from Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix, what did he think of the draft last night? The big story coming out of it, Damian Lillard. His thoughts when we come back.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? Are you going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
An inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and, like, get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by, as one of our favorites is doing. The great Sports Illustrated insider about the National Basketball Association, our friend Chris Mannix, back here on the show. How you doing, Chris?
I'm good, Rich.
Your takeaway from the draft last night is...
It was boring. I don't know. I'm of the opinion, Rich, that at least the coverage of the NBA draft needs to be reimagined a little bit. It wasn't the broadcast network's fault that it was largely anticlimactic. We knew Victor Wembanyama was going to go number one. Most of the intrigue was in the second and third picks.
Yes.
What Charlotte would do with that pick, would Portland trade it? But once that came off the board, you had, like, 4 hours of – it just wasn't a lot. There wasn't a lot of activity besides going pick after pick. The other bit of a peeve I have with draft coverage, and I talked about this a little bit on my podcast today, was – or is, rather, like, I kind of want some negativity in draft coverage. You know what I mean? Like – I'd just like to hear more of the flip side of the coin. You know, I know we're talking about, you know, college age players, 18, 19 years old. But if you look at the history of NBA drafts, yeah, what percentage of these guys actually work out every year? Is it 20%, 25% that meet or exceed expectations? I kind of want somebody up there on the dais whose only job is to tell me why this guy's not going to succeed. If that's something I'd like to see added to any draft coverage moving forward.
Wow, look at you. Salty Chris Mannix, the host of the Crossover NBA Show podcast right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You know, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later as well, but I might as well throw out here. The ultimate issue with this draft is that it's held before the new league year. And so guys are drafted, and then they switch hats. And then we find out there's a pick swap, and then this choice that was, you know, is going to be traded in 2028, 2029. So folks are just like, okay, wake me up when we're within 3 years of this pick actually not actually mattering. Like it's way too, you know, in the weeds and confusing. And if you have the new league year first, then a team that drafts somebody and puts a hat on the kid is the team that's going to keep the kid. Unless they actually trade him to another team, and that gets announced in the middle of the draft. Otherwise, it's very difficult to follow, and it's my job to follow this stuff, Chris.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with the premise. I think there's no chance that would happen because of, you know, you make these picks because of the constraints of the salary cap, which are getting even more you know, getting tighter in this next version of the CBA, which begins July 1st, you know, you're trying to see how many young players you can acquire, cheap talent that you can acquire that can fill one of those eventual roster spots. You don't want to have to go out and fill those spots and then find an opportunity afterwards to be able to add even cheaper talent into the mix. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword, you know, for the NBA. Well, your suggestion probably makes it easier to follow, but, you know, from an NBA executive perspective, they want to keep as many avenues to build a team available as possible.
Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated here on the Rich Eisen Show. So with Scoot Henderson now a Portland Trailblazer, to me, that now all heads now swivel towards Damian Lillard and say, what do you think? So what do you think?
Well, I know that Portland in the next couple of days is going to get multiple phone calls from rival executives kicking the tires on this and seeing where they really are. I know Joe Cronin, the GM there, has publicly stated we want Damian Lillard here for the long term, but things can change pretty quickly. I don't think this is something that is going to anything that's going to happen is not going to happen all that quickly, I don't believe. You know, Damian Lillard has said he wants to see what the Blazers can do to build a contender before the start of next season. We haven't even gotten to the start of the official free agency. When Portland, even though they are limited with what they can do, they still have some levers to pull, some deals they could potentially make, and maybe those deals that are made convince Lillard that they've done enough to keep him around. But if they get to, you know, the second week of free agency, mid to late July, and yeah, as the dust has started to settle, and they haven't added one or two pieces, veteran pieces, to this mix, there will be a conversation had between Damian Lillard and Joe Cronin. That's not the kind of thing, Rich, that needs sourced reporting. I mean, I have had this exact conversation with Damian Lillard multiple times, as recently as this past March, where we've talked about the process, where he said, I want to have a chance to win at this stage of my career. I want them to put a team around me, and if they can't, well, we should talk, and we should figure out what's best for both sides. So I think if you're looking for indications that Damian Lillard could be gone, you got the first one on draft night when the Blazers took Scoot Henderson, who's a phenomenal talent, who I don't think any GM would have passed on in that situation. But he's a young guy. He's going to need time to develop. So by keeping that pick, that was sort of the first lever that was pulled that could mean that Lillard could be headed out of town.
And then the fact that of the first five selections, or first seven selections, let's go there, two from France, two from Overtime Elite, right? Yep. Two from the SEC. And, you know, and then you got – does the NBA like that? Are they into that? Do they like it?
I don't think look, it doesn't help with draft night, that's for sure, because, you know, historically on draft nights, you've had a lot of recognizable guys, and guys are more recognizable when they play college basketball, specifically guys that get into the NCAA tournament, and we all, as a nation, get a long look at them. We all know who Victor Wembanyama was, but we didn't know a ton about him until he got stateside and it became Wembanyama week in New York with everything that he was doing. People knew who Scoot Henderson was, but I don't know too many people that were watching G League Ignite games on right. The regular last year. Same with Overtime Elite games on the regular. So it's not great for coverage of draft night, the interest surrounding the draft, but is it good for the NBA? Yeah, because look, they want to build the G League Ignite into a formidable presence, one that can entice those college players or those would-be college players to go pro, where they can get NBA-level skills and be more ready to play when they get to the NBA. Overtime Elite, while not affiliated with the NBA, has basically, you know, that same concept, NBA preparation over the course of 1 year. So it's not great for days like Thursday, but you know, if these players are more prepared to step in and play right away, and if they're better players for it, I think that's overall good for the NBA.
Chris Mannix at Sports Illustrated here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right. Did you have Chris Paul to the Warriors on your bingo card, Chris Mannix?
I did not. That was, I mean, you wouldn't call it a shocker because, you know, there were rumblings that the Warriors were looking to move off the Jordan Poole contract. Some of that had to do with, you know, obviously everything that happened last year with Draymond and the way Jordan Poole played over the totality of the season. Some of that has nothing to do with Jordan Poole. It's just the money. And we talked about how, you know, draconian the NBA collective bargaining agreement is. It's going to get real tough for teams like the Blazers to spend their way to success. Not because they can't do it or aren't willing to spend, but the NBA does take a lot of levers away from you when you cross that second apron. And the Warriors in the future are going to try to do everything they can to keep themselves underneath it. And Chris Paul, look, I don't know if the Warriors are as much interested in Chris Paul as the flexibility he provides over the next 3 or 4 years, but it'll be interesting to see how he fits with that team. I mean, Chris Paul doesn't seem like a Warriors kind of guy, like the way they play. I mean, Golden State is not this heavy, basic pick-and-roll team. They rely on a lot of movement, a lot of cutting, a lot of spacing, a lot of shooting, quite frankly, and that's not really Chris Paul's thing, at least not at 38 years old. So the fit will be interesting. Where Chris Paul fits in the rotation will be interesting. Chris Paul, Rich, has never come off the bench once in his career. Played 78 games his first season in the NBA as a starter. He's been a starter ever since. Will he come off the bench in Golden State? There's a lot to figure out with this Chris Paul fit with the Warriors.
So then it stands to reason you did not have on your bingo card the Wizards getting more for Chris Paul than they got for Bradley Beal or Kristaps Porzingis, right?
I didn't expect it to at least be comparable, that's for sure. I mean, it is kind of how you look at it with the deal. You know, the Warriors get Jordan Poole, and look, Jordan Poole, you know, this time last year was an asset. Jordan Poole was a player who helped that team win a championship. Maybe he can, you know, rediscover some of that in a leading role on a Wizards team. So that's the best player they got out of the deal. The draft pick, who knows? That's a protected 2030 pick. I mean, I don't know where anybody's going to be in 2030. What they got from Phoenix, though, is it could be interesting. They got some pick swaps there that go well beyond when Kevin Durant's going to be a member of the Suns. So, you know, those could turn out to be valuable pieces to deal down the line. But the fact that it was even comparable, Rich, is wild. I mean, you know, Chris Paul's 38. He's got one guaranteed year now left on his contract. And, you know, they were able to swing, you know, a good young player and a future draft pick in exchange for him.
So this means Draymond stays in Golden State?
That's always been the most likely outcome. I mean, for Draymond to opt out, the message is it's easier to get a long-term extension at age 33 than it is at age 34. And everybody within the Warriors is on the same page on bringing Draymond Green back. I don't know yet if they've talked, you know, specific numbers, number of years. So it's certainly possible Draymond could get to July 1st and, you know, see what's out there. I mean, Detroit is a team that could certainly use a leader like Draymond Green, played his college ball at Michigan State. So that's certainly a possibility. But if I was a betting man, I'd say it's a three-year deal with a fourth year with makeable incentives of some kind to guarantee a fourth season, and Draymond's back with Golden State.
And so what does LeBron make of all this? Chris Paul going to the Warriors, right? I mean, and then what pieces can the Lakers add? What's on the horizon and going through LeBron's head? Chris?
Look, it's going to be challenging for the Lakers to add pieces of significance to that team right now. And, you know, when you talk to people in Los Angeles, you know, their priority right now is to bring the band back. You know, a few years ago, you know, after coming off that bubble championship, one of the mistakes the Lakers made was they just started to let that roster break apart. You know, whether it was, you know, Alex Caruso leaving eventually as a free agent, you had the Russell Westbrook trade that moved Kuzma off the team. They broke up a title team. And this Lakers team from last year didn't win a title, but it did get to the Western Conference Finals after effectively being assembled in mid-February. And there's reason to believe if you bring everybody back, they'll be at least as good as they were, you know, after the All-Star break this past year. So right now for Rob Pelinka, you know, the goal is to get Austin Reeves back on a new deal. You know, D'Angelo Russell, who, you know, he's a polarizing guy and he can be hit or miss at times on the floor, but you want to try to bring him back, new deal. Rui Hachimura you want back on a new deal. I think for now, the Lakers' top priority is going to be bringing this group that was surprisingly successful in the second half of the season back on under contract for next year.
Oh, Chris Mannix, you are the man. I appreciate the time on a busy time of your schedule. Let me know when you're here in L.A. next week. I'd love to have you here in studio.
Do you want to volunteer, Rich, for the, let's call it the hater draft? Do you want to host the hater draft?
No, that's like, there are so many other people in this industry that I think would be more well-suited for that sort of thing. But, you know, but I'll run up the flagpole.
I would just say one thing real quick, Rich. I'll tell you one thing that, like, I like when I was at Yahoo with the Vertical for a couple of years, working with Woj and Bobby Marks and Jonathan Givony, all these really smart guys, we had Tom Crean on set. And sometimes when you bring a coach onto the set, you wonder, are they just going to be overwhelmingly positive about everybody? I kind of was anticipating that. But Tom Crean in that role was fantastic, because Tom Crean at several points during that draft was just saying guys can't play. I remember he said that Tyler Lydon with Syracuse that year in the draft said he couldn't play. And I loved it because, look, I mean, people are watching. You know, you want to hear the good and the bad with these guys. And if we're being honest, when you get into the second half of the first round, you're going to see a lot of, you know, a lot of guys that probably aren't going to make it in this league or not going to be effective players in this league. I want more of that, you know. I don't want to call it pessimism, but, you know, brutal objectivity from draft coverage.
You want an edge, Chris. I understand. You're an edgy guy. You're an edgy guy.
ESPN does like 9 streams of draft coverage. See, on ESPN and ABC. I got one with my man Windhorst on there was doing one. It's like, how about one that's just like overwhelmingly negative?
Yeah, get out of here with this guy. Like that sort of thing. I understand.
Get off my lawn draft.
Well, one thing as a thank you, I'm going to give you an idea to search this story down because I think it's going to exist, and I think you should be the first one to investigate it and break it and get into it. The Grady Dick Drake relationship. We've got to. It's going to blossom. It's going to be beautiful. There might be a music video. There might be an actual album or a single or whatever dropping. I need the Grady Dick Drake blooming bromance that I believe will exist in Toronto.
I'm on it, Rich. You got it.
Get it. Thanks for the call, Chris Mannix. You're the man.
You got it, Rich.
Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated. Everybody, check out the Crossover NBA Show podcast where he is getting a lot off his chest right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, there's Chris with his 2 cents.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, a new star in the NBA was born last night. And I'm not talking about Victor Wembanyama.
Nope.
But I'm not talking about Brandon Miller, Scoot Henderson, name it.
Of course. Thompson Twins.
Oh, yeah. It's Grady Dick.
Look at that jacket.
I mean, he showed up with that red jacket on the red carpet with Victor Wembanyama. And it looks like, if you just keep that photograph up on the screen, it looked like, for a split second, Victor Wembanyama strolling around New York and then seeing Elton John in the Madame Tussauds Wax Museum right off of Times Square. But no, that's Grady Dick with the wraparound shades. And I guess it's fitting that somebody from Kansas would be wearing a jacket made out of the slippers that his house. Falling on the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah, he said that was
created.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? It was in honor of the Ruby Slippers? Yeah. It was. So he really was really going Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, he really did it.
Another
reason
why I love this, guys. You know, The Wizard of Oz is one of my dad's favorite movies of all time.
Yeah. I think
I've seen
cool
it a million times.
That he was able to take time out of co-starring with Adam Devine coming up in the third hour in The Righteous Gemstones to attend the NBA draft.
That's another way to go.
Obviously, he's BJ in The Righteous Gemstones. Yeah.
That's another way to go.
Obviously, and with that picture that we just had up, obviously, you know, Wembanyama is a little bit ahead. You know, in front of him, so there's that. But Grady Dick's like 6'8".
I know. I mean.
This dude
did
is
Did you see
7'5".
Stephen A. interviewing Wembanyama?
Stephen A. is 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
It looked like he'd fit in his pocket.
Looks like a bar mitzvah DJ.
But let's let's land on that too, Jay. Let's land
looks
on
like
that.
A bar mitzvah, well,
yeah.
DJ.
Like if that guy shows up to your bar mitzvah, you're doing the whole run in 2 seconds flat, or the electric slide.
A lot of sliding.
Hey Toronto, you're gonna get a character. By the way, also a very good basketball player.
Yes.
You want to throw that on
that,
top of this
that,
mix too?
That too.
But Drake has a new companion. Did you see the mixtape music video that went viral last night? Because everyone's starting to wonder, who is this guy? Need characters, man.
Yeah, you need characters. You need stars.
So
Toronto's going to love him.
I'm in. Honestly, I'm going to pay attention
You taking him in fantasy next year?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't done my evaluations yet, Chris. Got my off-season meetings coming up in a couple weeks.
Well, we know you're not going to have the first pick, so.
Don't even start.
He shouldn't.
On that.
This guy.
All right? That guy. But I'm obviously I'm all locked in on Wembanyama. Mm-hmm. Need to see the Brandon Miller, Scoot Henderson. Those guys will be attached, right? For a long time to come, in the same way that Morant and Zion, we thought those guys were attached.
Kind of all three of them, kind of like you know.
Well, Wembanyama is in a class on his own.
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe? What are you doing? Come on.
Let's see him playing.
Okay,
NBA.
Very good. And then there's Grady Dick. Other than that, I'm you know, kind of kicking back, seeing who else plays out. That was fun. All right, we will take a break in your phone calls. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Coming up next hour, Jeff Passan will be joining us to talk about Ohtani's future, if it is here in Southern California or not. And I do want to hit on what Mannix had to say about how the draft was boring, or at least the broadcast was not nearly as edgy as he wanted. I've got a couple cents on that subject matter. That's still to come here on this Friday edition. We got a couple phone calls to get to. Let's get to them right here. Let's go to Nick in Philadelphia. By the way, before we get to Nick, did you see that the interstate that got burned down
is
2 weeks ago is back open today?
I saw that.
What an amazing achievement. Congrats to all those who made that happen.
I-95 is an important road, Rich.
You think? Nick in Philadelphia, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Nick?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, it's a very unfortunate situation, but kind of amazing how quickly they got that back and up and running.
It can be done.
With the summertime starting.
What's on your mind?
So yesterday you guys did your top five of the top high school movies in the 1980s.
Yes, sir.
So I'm a millennial. I grew up in the 2000s.
Okay.
So I made my own top five of my top five high school movie growing up in the 2000s.
Okay. So hold on a second. So you have your own top five list.
Music, Jay Philly.
Of best high school movies from the aughts. Is that what you're saying?
From the 2000s.
From the 2000s, the aughts. Okay, very good. Do you want some music, Nick?
Let's do it.
Sure.
Okay, go for it.
What kind of music goes with that?
There you go. We gave it to you anyway. What's going on? All right, what do you got? What's number five?
So at number five, the original did come out in 1999, but I kind of include the whole franchise. It's the American Pie franchise.
Okay, American Pie franchise, very good.
You know, nothing beats the original, but a very funny movie. Gets you that summer camp feel. It's just a great movie.
Okay.
Number four, I have Mean Girls. I think that's just a funny movie. It has the comedy, the drama. I think it'll stand the test of time there. Number three is Superbad.
Yes.
That introduced me to Jonah Hill. There's a connection there. I love McLovin. Just a great character. Great movie. And then my final two, I have a number two, is Friday Night Lights, the movie.
Mm.
Definitely one of my favorite movies of all time. I still don't understand why Booby Miles went in. You know, dumb coaching decision there, but such a great movie. And number one, you know, this is probably arguably the greatest sports movie of all time, at least in the discussion, is Remember the Titans.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's a good list.
Good list, man.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go higher register. But that's a good list, Nick. That's
We're
a good
the same
list.
Same age.
All right. You're a millennial?
Yeah. I'm born 85.
Okay. So what year were you born, Nick?
I'm a 93 baby. Okay. I was born December 29th.
Thank you very much. There you go. Thanks very much, Nick. Congratulations on a good list. Not many people can call in with a list and get through it fast. Good pacing, good information. It also led to a very Del Tufo-like moment from Jason Feller.
Maybe it's
you're not a millennial if you're born in 1985.
I think I am. I think the cutoff is...
What's the cutoff for being a millennial?
I mean, I hope
hold
I'm
on,
wrong.
Hold on.
Dude, you were 15 when the new millennium hit.
I hope I'm
a millennial
wrong.
Is somebody who's born.
No, no, no. He's right. Millennials are between 81 and 94.
So I'm not proud of it.
So you're at the early end, and then Nick was at the end.
I learned this. Wow, yeah. My bad. I didn't mean to accuse you of a Del Tufo-like mistake.
It's okay.
Gen Y. See, I'm the last year of Gen X, 80.
What am I?
I don't know.
What Rich? Am I?
Boomer, right?
Aren't you? How am I a baby boomer?
Aren't we all Gen X?
I was born in. By the way, my birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, we know.
No, you're not a boomer.
What
Rich.
Am I?
You're not a boomer.
What am I? Did I fall in a crack? I'm not anything. I'm a free agent.
What now, you're born in '69.
Yes, sir.
You're the early Gen X.
Look at me. I'm the early generation X.
Gen X is 65 to 80.
I'm DX.
Hey-o.
Well, you won't say it because you won't tell us how old you are.
I just told you. I'm DX.
What does that mean, DX?
Degenerate. It's a wrestling thing, Rich.
Do you really not know how old he is?
No, I don't. Do you?
No, I just didn't realize.
He's never told us his age.
Because,
do it. And I don't understand it. Like, it's as big a mystery as Marshall Faulk's golf handicap. He will not tell you what his handicap is.
Well, at least he
doesn't want to tell you so he can make money off you on a golf course. So that's respectable. What is it?
What if I want to get another job during the afternoons and they go, well, we'd hire you for this, but you're a little old to do social media. So, you just never know.
How can you apply for a job for social media when you're not on Twitter? What else are you on? You're on Instagram.
I tried to give you anyway, my point.
That was your original role. You've morphed into a different role here.
That's true. And I'm going to turn into one of the YouTube commenters here with the last thing. American Pie can't count. It came out in 99.
Yeah, but if you count, but the other one too.
They weren't in high school.
That's true.
They had graduated high school.
That's
and, like,
true.
I don't want to nitpick, but since everything
starts
in
high school.
Sorry.
Everything we do gets nitpicked. So.
Nick's got to choose another fifth one.
No, they're still in high school, the first one.
Now, the first one is 99. It wasn't in the aughts. And you, as a millennial, should know that.
Yeah, good point.
You, as a nearly 40-year-old millennial, know that.
That sounds a little. It stings a little.
So, American Pie would be one of the top high school movies of the 90s. Stifler's Mom.
I'm sorry, man. Those 2000s can't compare to the 80s movie-wise.
I mean...
All right.
That's in the 90s as well, isn't it?
That's in the
90s. Okay. I think Superbad is as good as any 80s high school movie.
And I would say American Pie is part of, if there's a family tree of such movies... That's a descendant of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, don't you think?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Superbad, too. Like, those movies
are... Yeah, absolutely. And then Friday Night Lights and Room of the Titans are sports movies that, are up with high schoolers.
Yeah, Varsity Blues.
Varsity Blues, 90s.
Well, I mean, that's one of the best scenes in the history of a film.
Which scene is that, Rich?
Do you know which scene I'm talking about? It's a great football scene.
I haven't seen that movie in a
while. It's been a while.
It's all right. I can talk about this stuff. My wife is on a plane.
Oh, the John Voight scene. Yeah, right.
The whipped cream bikini.
Come on, Feller.
Feller, I mean, come on.
This is why,
What's wrong with that?
This is why you're once a week.
What do you mean?
I've been here twice, thank you.
Because why are you doing one him? Because we were pulling the joke out.
It's what you do to him.
Well, he's the guy who hammers the nail directly on its head when we're trying to be real.
Yeah, but sometimes when I do that to you guys, you do nuanced. It thinking everybody knows what you're talking about. And if I don't know, then I'm going to guess a lot of people out there won't know what you're talking about. So that's why I hit the nail on the head sometimes.
Understood. Understood. I get it. Good list right there. What else would be in the 90s?
I like his list.
What else would be in the 90s?
90s high school movies?
90s. Yeah, high school movies in the 90s.
The Faculty.
Come on.
The Faculty?
What is that? I don't even remember that.
Clueless, right? Clueless.
Clueless is a really what year was Clueless? That was good. That was like Paul Rudd's first big movie, wasn't
that
it?
That was early 90s.
Looks the same still.
I'm going to tell you what, one of my favorites is, you guys ever see Can't Hardly Wait?
Can't Hardly Wait?
That was amazing. Yeah. I'd love that one.
10 Things I Hate About You? Is that a...
She's All That.
She's All That.
Isn't Jennifer Lawrence coming out in a movie right now about a kid going to college?
Yeah. College, yeah.
Clueless was 95.
Yeah, that's definitely...
Dazed and Confused.
That might be number one.
Encino Man.
Did you mention
Clueless,
that,
Jen? Clueless. Yeah. Clueless was... Huge.
Yeah. Huge.
That was like quintessential.
That might be the number one high school movie of the 90s.
I know a lot of girls would say The Craft. A lot of girls love that. Yeah. Well, not just girls, but a lot of people love The Craft.
Are you speaking for the Gen Y ladies right now? As a member of Generation DX?
Break it down.
What's that?
Scream?
Scream. Is that a high school movie, technically?
They're in high school.
Yeah, they're in high school.
Okay.
What about House Party, TJ?
That literally was the next thing I was about to say. Yeah. House Party, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yep. Oh, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Good one. Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Okay. Good stuff, guys.
Cruel Intentions.
Cruel Intentions. Nice.
She's All That. Any Freddie Prinze Jr., late 90s movie.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Well done, Nick, in Philadelphia, even though... Your top five has been summarily rejected because of American Pie being included. We're nitpicking.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine, a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.